This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Please welcome.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Mooch, you there?
Yeah.
We noticed it was the 20th anniversary of Tom Brady being drafted, and we wanted to wish you a happy Giovanni Carmazzi Day, Steve.
I hate your guts.
Joining us right here prior to the Thanksgiving week 12 in the National Football League, courtesy of FedEx, is none other than future Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers. How you doing, Aaron?
Good, buddy. And I just can't help but listen to your intro there and wonder,
yes,
who are those shows that you love to go against? Who's the shows you hate the most?
Okay, Aaron. Now then, should I give an answer like a professional quarterback, or should I give an honest answer? What should I do? What do you think?
It's your world, man. This is the Peacock. It's all brand new.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want.
I'll just say, you know what, Aaron? Every show is important. You know, I don't really like to give my opponents anything more than what they need to have. I just need to take care of my show, take it one segment at a time, hope for the best. It is what it is, and I'm only talking about the guys who are here. I'm sorry, I went coach speak there. My bad. How was that?
Wow. That was impressively bad.
Okay. All right. I want to beat Cowherd and Rome's ass every single day. Is that better? Is that better?
Yeah. There you go.
My guys are clapping, so they're appreciative. They're appreciative. Yeah. I circle this on my calendar every single day. You know what I mean? The Rich Eisen Show. Do you do that for Bears Week, Aaron?
I don't know about that. I think I definitely look at when we're playing in Chicago. Probably the coldest I've been in my life on a football field has been in Chicago a couple times. So I always look and make sure that's the first place I look when the schedule does come out this year, as opposed to years past where we've gotten kind of a reprieve by playing them earlier in the season. We have them towards the end. So we know that's going to be nice and cold down in Chicago in week 17?
Yes. 17. That's right. That's week 17. Could be game 256, potentially. I don't know if that really will be it. But, you know, there's a lot of football left to be played. This past weekend in Indianapolis, what did you say to Valdez Scantling after the game, Aaron?
Not a whole lot. I mean, look, he was disappointed. He was, bummed out for sure. We've all been there before. You know, it's he didn't intentionally, try and turn the ball over there. I just reminded him how important he was to get us in position to even send it to overtime. And to just kind of hold on that feeling. I think a lot of times with emotion, we try and maybe run from it too much or whatever. And I think it's good to embrace those times when we're emotional, to really feel what it feels like to have that disappointment and sit with it. And then after you process it, to move on. And I think that's a part of growth, is processing those emotions and then sitting with them, feeling them, and then moving forward and leaving those behind.
And it just seems, though, that your team is still, it's still clicking. I look at, a game, and obviously the result isn't the way you were looking at it. But it does seem to me that you are clicking offensively. You've got Tonyan, which I did not know rhymed with Funyan until he said pretty much the same thing a few weeks ago. But it seems to me that you've got a considerable championship team in front of you, similar to last year. Would you say that this team is in a better position than last year? Or just compare it, if you wouldn't mind, from your perspective, to what we saw from a team last year that was almost the one seed?
Yeah, we were a couple inches from being the one seed. It's interesting because I feel like our teams are so different, even though the personnel is almost exactly the same.
Okay.
I just think that offensively we've been helped by the second year in the system and some growth from some important players. Robert Tonyan, not Tonyan,
yep,
as we all learned.
Mm-hmm.
Elton Jenkins, who did a really nice job at center for us when Corey went out a couple days ago. Billy Turner, who's moved from right guard to right tackle and been very effective for us. Lucas Patrick, who's moved in the starting lineup and done a really, really good job. Other than that, it's a lot of the same guys. Jamal Williams, I think, came back and has been a bigger contributor for us, especially in the past game. I was teasing with him all offseason about his beautiful posts on Instagram where he was running all over the field, running like, 40-yard deep, post corners, making these catches and stuff. But he showed up in incredible shape and has been a big contributor. So I think the personnel is very similar. I think we've gotten jumps from certain guys on offense, and just we've all felt a little more comfortable in the system in year two. I think on defense, there was a lot of encouraging things on Sunday from the energy, I think, that we played with, forcing a couple turnovers. It was a little bit of an anomaly game for us on offense, turned the ball over three times, and obviously we turned over on special teams. But the second half, especially the third quarter, went really poorly for us. We had six plays and then didn't really get the ball back until 8 minutes left in the fourth. And put together a good drive and then didn't convert on fourth and one and then had to, go 90 yards to get it to overtime. But I like our team a lot. I like the character of the team. I think it's going to be important. Six games for us. So we got three of those are division games. And then we have a division leader in Philly, Carolina, and then obviously Tennessee, who's been playing really, really well this season. So we're going to find out a lot about our team in the last 6 weeks. We usually do. It's weather gets cold. It's the physicality of the game really gets exposed or heightened or highlighted. And it'll be interesting month and a half.
A few minutes left with Aaron Rodgers here on the Rich Eisen Show. How do you watch a Monday night game like last night? Obviously, I'm assuming you watch it. And if so, do you watch it like you're watching film? Or are you watching just the quarterbacks? You're watching concepts? What are you watching? Pass rush? How do you watch a game like last night, Aaron?
I didn't watch it.
Come on now.
I didn't see 1 minute of it.
Come on now. You don't.
That's a minute of it.
What are you doing on a Monday night instead?
Well, I'm relaxing, man. I'm enjoying my time, reading a good book.
What are you reading?
Getting to bed early. It was a late night Sunday, later okay. night. We got back at 10, and you can never really fall asleep after the game, whether it's an afternoon game or a night game. So Mondays and Tuesdays are about, really getting my mind and body back. So, if I want to get to bed early on a Monday, I usually don't watch the game. So that's what happened last night.
So you there was no curiosity factor, Brady versus Rams. Rams, who maybe you see either one of these teams. You obviously have already seen Tampa, but no curiosity factor in watching a football game at all.
Oh, I mean, I definitely, I at one point, I think about 8:30, I checked, I checked what the score was on my phone. But I'm sure I'll at some point see this one on film and get a chance to look at it.
What are you reading then? What are you reading?
I'm reading a lot of books. I'm reading a book about the dream world right now, about dreaming. It's called The History of Dreaming. So. Very interesting.
Why?
About different cultures.
Okay.
About different cultures and how they look at the dream world. You say why?
Yeah, why? Yeah, what interests you about that?
Everything about the basic lucidity of dreams that I often experience, and I think it's interesting to hear perspectives about how ancient cultures viewed it and how present day. Smart people look at the dream world.
So, do you dream of football, Aaron? And this is a way for you to decipher what you're seeing or other stuff.
Oh, sometimes, yeah, definitely, yeah. Sometimes I've had some of those type of dreams. A lot of times they're more nightmares. Like, you have a dream where you it's game day and you're not at the stadium and you don't know why you're not there and you can't get there. That's a nightmare, or you just have your pads or pants or whatever it might be, and you're going out in the field. That's definitely happened before. Or you have some weird dream where you're playing in a different uniform, and it's very confusing, and different coaches, and or you're playing for the Packers, and you don't recognize anybody on the team. Yeah, those are interesting.
This is amazing. So how do you? And then we'll get to FedEx. How do you decipher that? I love this. This is amazing. I could talk about this literally for the next 2 hours, but
I don't know. I think the better ones, the more decipherable ones are maybe where you, you're in situations, whether past, or present, that happen from the, I mean, the beauty about dreams is a lot of times you might be talking to someone or thinking about someone that maybe you haven't, you know, a childhood friend or something, and then you have a dream and they're in the dream. Like that, that those are always fun ones to try and decipher, where you, you know, had a conversation about, you know, hiking to a waterfall, and then the dream is all about, you know, that experience.
Right.
I find the dream world very fascinating.
I always have a dream that I have not studied for a test. I'm back in college. I'm about to fail this test, and everything that's happened in my life since then is not going to be because of it. Literally, and I wake up. That's a recurring dream of mine, Aaron. I didn't think I'd share anything like that with you today, but you brought it up, so that's it.
See, you never know where it's going to go, buddy. You never know.
It's really, it's like a trip, no doubt. Now I know where it's going to go, because I want to make sure that we talk about the ship-a-thon that FedEx has been kind enough to give this phone call chat with you to this show. What is the FedEx ship-a-thon that's going down?
The ship-a-thon is what we're calling, is what FedEx is calling basically this holiday season, just because it's going to be so many people, probably more than usual with obviously the COVID and all this. You know, there's going to be a lot more shipping going on. So, you know, we connected, and like I was teasing my lineman, there's been a few years, not every gift, but there's been maybe some of the bigger gifts to some of the guys that might not have been delivered on Christmas, or even maybe a month or a couple months afterwards. So this year, as opposed to years past, you know, I shopped early, and thanks to FedEx, we shipped it early, and they got their presents even before Thanksgiving, which I know was surprising to them. So really thankful to FedEx for helping out with that. And the ship-a-thon is just, hey, you know, this is just a good reminder, I think, for everybody. It's going to be super busy. So get your stuff shipped as soon as possible. For my linemen, you know, I'm thankful.
What'd you get them?
To get them the Traeger grills, and then a nice white glove, tailor-made golf club experience, which would be great for the few that golf. And I must admit, it is almost like an event going golfing with those guys, because you never know what's going to happen.
Okay, and that's FedEx.com/holiday guide. Now I need to figure out what I'm getting the guys here at the Rich Eisen Show, because you just kind of set the bar very high. Although, Aaron, I didn't think I'd be bringing this up to you. I found out that the guys here on this show all ordered Lou Malnati's pizza from Chicago and didn't include me. And I found that out on live television and radio last week, and it did mess with the team chemistry, I'm not going to lie. How would you, as the CEO, I guess, of your offense, handle such a thing like that, Aaron? This is no dream either. This happened.
Well, publicly shaming them would be probably the first way to go about it.
Yep.
That's always a good route.
Check
to go
there.
And then
with a Pro Bowl quarterback, yeah, right? With a championship MVP Pro Bowl quarterback, enlist him in that process as well.
Yeah, definitely. Restriction of privileges for sure.
Okay.
And then probably a public apology on across multiple social media platforms.
Okay.
Which already took place last week.
It did take place.
Yes,
actually, the way that they trolled me, Aaron, is that they did, after me bitching about it, bring in the pizzas and lay it on my desk like the Notre Dame team laid their jerseys on the desk in Rudy, which is the movie I hate the most because I'm a Michigan guy. So they actually trolled me in trying to make amends. It just doesn't stop.
Wait. Let me just make you feel better, because that was one of my favorite movies growing up, and I've since learned from a former coach of mine who played in Notre Dame, that never happened. So there's many parts of that movie that never actually happened. Like Vince Vaughn throwing the halfback pass to give Rudy a chance to run down a kickoff. Never happened.
Fake. What else? Please keep going. This does make me feel much better. You have no idea how much this makes me feel better.
This is helping.
Anything
man.
Else? Anything else that you know that's false?
Well, yeah, I don't think John Favreau actually married that girl. Yeah.
Okay.
He left her for somebody a little better looking, I think.
Okay. And the guy who played Rock wasn't slow clapping outside either. He wasn't doing that slow clap. Okay. Very good. This is good.
Yeah, that never happened either.
Thank you, Aaron. You have made me feel better, and I appreciate the call. Have a great Thanksgiving holiday, and let's chat down the road. Always enjoy our chats.
Look forward to it, buddy. Maybe we'll talk about Game of Thrones and the offshoot coming out with starring Arya.
Okay. Are you going to be in that? You already got a role in that that everyone in the Twitterverse is going to inaccurately describe as your role? You're going to have something like that?
I mean, I sent in my reel from the office just to remind them that I can actually act a little bit. So hopefully that might give me some serious time.
Okay. In the meantime, you've got the Chicago Bears in front of you, so good luck with that, and we'll chat down the line. Thanks again, Aaron. Always appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. That's Aaron Rodgers, at Aaron Rodgers 12. By the way, also notice I did not include McAfee at the very beginning.
Right, right.
Who we go against every day.
Because we like him.
I like everybody.
Okay.
I do. I've been on Rome. I've filled in for Rome. That was one of my first extra jobs other than doing NFL Network.
Phenomenal.
When Rome went in the basement, I was one of the guys.
Oh, that's fun.
Right. Then I
react to me.
No, I know. Then I no longer was invited to be doing that.
It was funny to hear Aaron talk about dreams.
Yes.
Aaron was in my dream a couple days ago.
Oh, you should have said something.
Well, I didn't want to, like, it wasn't creepy or anything. We were just.
I would hope not.
I mean, you guys watched the Ozark, right? You know how the girl lives in that, like, weird trailer park?
Sure.
So we were in kind of like that scenario, sitting on. Like,
with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, me and him, Aaron were, like, at the picnic tables, like, smoking cigars and hanging out. Really weird.
Well, you want to smoke a cigar and hang out with Aaron Rodgers.
I totally do.
But on the set of Ozark?
I don't know what that's about.
You know what it is? You're a weirdo.
Yeah. And I also,
sometimes dreams are just can be explained with you're a weirdo.
Totally. And I also have the same dream that you have all the time. We've talked about this, about where I'm back in school and I didn't do the report or project or didn't study, and then my whole life is going to fail because of it.
Mm-hmm. I have mixing dreams all the time.
I have that all the time.
Show mixing dreams. A lot of NFL Network.
Yeah, like, but those thoughts.
Like, in the dreams, do you have a perfect show? Unlike
of course
real
I do.
Life?
Of course I do. No, I have a lot of mixing dreams.
Aaron Rodgers confirming to me that Rudy is so fugazi.
No.
Is truly chef's kiss. It's great. I just wish we never had the director David Anspaugh on to say the other movie that he directed in Hoosiers.
Is even more.
Is. Makes,
Shitwood.
He said. Fake. He said. More. He said. Again, David Anspaugh directed both Rudy and Hoosiers. Yes, everybody loves Rudy so much. One of the best sports movies of all time for Jim Oakes, like the guy who never went to the school over there. That
77.
He said that sending Angelo Pizzo, who wrote both films as well, to Indiana to research, do the backstory on Hickory, a.k.a. Milan High School, to try and find something. He said that Angelo Pizzo came back and said, we don't have a movie. Nothing happened. Basically, the worst thing is that the third string guy ran laps one day.
And
he's
game,
like, there's nothing. There's no backstory about the coach or the town or anything.
And the game was played at Hinkle. We know it was played at Hinkle Field.
They made everything up.
Everything else.
Everything. Coach Dale, everything. Chitwood, the town. Named it, made it all up. He said that it makes Rudy look like a Ken Burns documentary.
It was Ray Finkelfield House.
ripped at your soul.
But Aaron Rodgers it was chicken soup for the soul right there. Just great. He used to love Rudy. Not anymore. He knows the truth. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Pleased to have here on the show. His new book, Talking to Goats, is available where all books are sold. Go get it today. The great Jim Gray back here on the show. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you?
I am fine. I am sorry I'm a couple minutes late to get to you. And,
no problem.
No, it's all good. Look, there's nothing more personal than writing a book. Nothing more personal than writing a book. And this is now on the shelf forevermore. What made you want to do this, Jim?
I just felt it was time with everything that had gone on. And it's been 43 years in broadcasting and thousands upon thousands of interviews and events, and
right.
it just kind of all added up. And Stedman Graham always tells me two things. He's written 12 books. He says, Jim Gray, they're paying you to talk. Just keep talking. Get all this down on paper. So I finally took his advice.
Okay, and how long did it take you? Did you have any help here? Or?
I did.
Okay.
Greg Bishop of Sports Illustrated did a tremendous job. He wrote the book with me. It took us just under 3 years. And he went through all these interviews and transcripts and dug up all these stories with me and really did a great job. A really diligent, terrific writer.
Anything that you saw as a thread through line to the goats that you're referring to? You put many of them on the front cover of your book. You had Tom Brady's writing the foreword. Is there a through line that you found with all of these people that you have spoken to so successful that they were?
I think they all have, you know, those basic components of hard work, dedication, and they're myopic in their pursuit of that excellence.
Right.
But they all seem to go about it in much different ways.
And how so?
Well, I mean, you know, some of them are tormented by that ability to touch perfection but not grasp it, like Michael Phelps, who spent his entire life, you know, as an adult staring at a black line to try and get a fingernail to the end of the board first.
Mm.
And... you know, just think about that statement and what that might do to you. Floyd Mayweather defined himself much differently with a 50-0 record. That O after his name meant everything to him. And also that O after his bank account meant everything to him.
That's right.
Whereas Don Shula, you know, the perfect season, end up defining him, not only the 347 wins, which is the most all-time, but what he wanted for his team to have 1972 be remembered forever. So everybody goes about it differently. Tom Brady, obviously, he wants to touch it again and again and again and again, and he can't hold on to it. But he's had the perfect quarter. He's had the perfect comeback. He's had, you know, all of those things. But what drives him is to do it, you know, for the seventh time now. And Kobe Bryant didn't matter to him. Kobe Bryant was going to win no matter what. And the commitment to win, it didn't matter who you were. If you were a teammate or an opponent and you were in the way, he knocked you over. So they all go about it differently, but they all are trying to reach the same place.
Jim Gray here on The Rich Eisen Show, 12-time Emmy Award winner and now author, Talking to Goats, where all books are sold. Is it safe to assume that you've interviewed Brady more than anybody else because of your week-to-week conversation that you've had with him for all these years?
I would say that's fair, okay. Yes.
So then what do you think he's thinking right now, Jim?
Like, today?
Yes, sir. Today, after last night.
He's thinking, how did I lose that game, and why did I throw those passes, and how am I going to get better next week? And it's a short week, and it's a short, you know, memory. And the losses do linger much, much longer than the victories. And so I'm sure he's beating himself up today, and it's not a good day for him.
Mm-hmm.
Or his teammates, and, you know, he wants to, doesn't want that to happen. And he didn't, you know, it's not what we're used to seeing in the end of games, but, you know, it's inevitable, too. Look, unlike boxing where you're defined by one loss now, how many games did the Chiefs lose last year? You can still be a champion at the point. One game can go quickly in the NFL. It wasn't 3 or 4 weeks ago. Everybody thought they were the best team in the NFL, and then they played the Saints, and had a bad performance, and they played last night, and wasn't a bad performance, it just wasn't a victory.
No, I know. I mean, all those America's Game documentaries that NFL Films puts together so expertly, all those six of them that Brady's Patriots were able to place in front of the Mavens at NFL Films to put together, you know, all of them had some sort of adversity that they had to face at some point, and it appears that we are seeing that right now for Tom. Why do you think he's still doing it, Jim?
Because he still can, and he still, you know, again, what have we seen? These five interceptions in those two games. Before that, it was 20 touchdowns and, what, five or six interceptions on the year. And a couple of them, three or four of them, came very early in the season, so he went 200 passes because he can still do it. His arm strength is there. His mind is still there. His abilities are all still there. And it's not like, you know, Frank Layden said it many, many years ago. He was a great coach for the Utah Jazz, and he had a bad season. He says, you folks think I went dumb overnight?
Yeah, right.
Okay? So he was a coach of the year or whatever he was, and terrific. And so he can still do it. And, you know, that's why he does it, because he loves football, and he loves his family, and that's what his life is. So he always says, why do everybody want me to retire? Well, they want me to retire because he used to say they hate me in 31 cities. Now they hate him in 30 cities. Boston still, I believe, loves him, and Tampa loves him. So everybody else wants a chance to win. So it's not over yet. He always says football starts at Thanksgiving. So that's this week. So it's not a very good prelude for the Bucks going into Thanksgiving, but let's see where they are next week, and it won't get any easier with Kansas City.
A few more minutes left with Jim Gray talking to GOATs. Any of your interviews throughout your career that you wanted to make sure is spotlighted in this book because it's a story you wanted to get out, a backstory you wanted to get out, certainly when there's so many narratives involving many of your interviews throughout the years, Jim?
Well, I think, you know, the decision now, 10 years in the rearview mirror, there's a chapter on that, and we discuss everything that went on with that show and what it looks like now today. Pete Rose, that was 21 years ago. That caused a lot of controversy and agita and tumult, and we go through that. And by the way, after 21 years, about 2.5 weeks ago, for a special on Fox that just aired, I went back and sat down with Pete Rose, and we spoke for an hour. So it was a really interesting conversation and really went well. And so I was glad that Pete did that. So those are two. Obviously, a chapter on Tiger Woods, one of the first interviews that he ever did where he predicted his greatness when he was 9 years old. Said, when I grow up, I want to win all the majors and beat all the pros. Became a very famous Nike commercial.
Yes.
So there's just a lot in here that, you know, not necessarily wanting to set any records straight, but just my version of events of what's gone on and what I've learned and what the public can learn through all of these guys, you know, great athletic achievements and their trials and tribulations.
What was more interesting, the conversation you had on camera with Pete or the off-camera one to set up the on-camera, Jim?
Well, here's what happened, Rich. About a year ago, the Cancer Society asked me to come and introduce Mike Tyson, who was being honored. And that same night, Pete Rose was being honored. So Pete walked over to the table. And I said to my wife, Fran, uh-oh, how's this going to go? So right. I stood up, and he extended his hand, and he said, Jim, you do a great job. You're really terrific at what you do. And I looked at him, and he said it again, and I said, you really don't mean that, Pete, do you? He said, no, I really do. What happened between us is 20 years ago, and a lot has changed. A lot has gone on. So Mike Tyson stood up because we didn't know what was going to happen. And Pete says to Mike, who do you think would have won that fight between Jim and I? And he said, there's no question. Jim would have killed you. So that broke all the ice, okay? So,
right.
You know, we had a nice conversation, and I just figured, you know, it's been 21 years. The book is coming out. Fox is nice enough to give me a special on the book.
Right.
And I called up Pete, and he said yes right away. Drove over to Las Vegas, and we sat down at the Bellagio Hotel, and we talked about that night. He said, you were just doing your job. I recognized the timing, and recognize that, you know, the tone of that from people having a melancholy feeling of seeing Ted Williams and Sandy Koufax and all their heroes,
right,
that, you know, perhaps what I should have done could have taken place at any other time. But on that night, it was actually his Hall of Fame celebration that the fans were giving him. So, you know, we just went through it and, you know, reminisced and spoke about everything that transpired after that.
But Mike Tyson was ready to step in. And be
Mike
your
was ready to step. Yeah,
he was ready to step in on your behalf.
Yeah, because you know Mike really just kind of guards me everywhere I go, Rich.
Well, then put him on the phone, Jim.
Well, that's not hard. You need Mike on your show?
No. I thought he's right next to you. Is what I'm saying.
He's with Kiki training for his fight this weekend.
That's right. Oh my God, isn't that amazing? Oh my gosh.
He's quite a guy, Mike Tyson. There's a lot more to him. That's the name of the chapter in the book, Much More Than the Bite.
Much More Than the Bite. Jim, I appreciate the time. Congrats on the book. Congrats on getting it all out there. Hope you sell a lot of them, and everybody should go get Talking to Goats where all books are sold. Appreciate the time, Jim.
Rich, appreciate you. Thanks for having me
right
on.
Back
Happy
at you.
Thanksgiving to you and Susie and the family, and you're the best. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Right back at you. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Joining me now is a good buddy, a longtime friend of the program as well. He guest hosted way back in 2014, and here we are in 2020 joining me here in advance of his movie Super Intelligence with Melissa McCarthy and James Corden, which is going to be on HBO Max on Thanksgiving Day. My buddy, Bobby Cannavale. How are you, Bobby?
Hi, Rich. Well, thanks. Nice to see you. You look good.
You look good, too. What's is the beard for the role that you're doing?
The beard is for the role that I'm doing here. I'm in Australia, so I grew the beard for this job, and also really to commemorate the lousiest year ever. I'll always know what year, whenever I see that movie, I'll know what year it was.
Because it's a big beard you got going on. Right. So you're in Australia. So you're 19 hours ahead of me. Do you know if the Jets have lost yet, then? Do you know if they've lost?
I don't, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say they did. And not only did they, but they probably lost badly. I haven't watched a single Jets game this year because I just can't. I can't add to the crappy year that we've had by actually exposing my eyes to that horror.
Okay.
I can't.
So if you want, I can, would you like me? I can summarize generally.
You don't have to. You know why? Because I'm on a thread and that's all I got to do is follow the thread. I've got a couple threads. You're one of them.
Okay.
But yeah, I've got another thread with Joe Lowe and my brother and my friend Stephen Girgis. And it's really funny because I will watch, I watch football on Monday morning here, 6 a.m. And so I watch football. I watch all the games except for the Jets. I don't even do red zone because yes. I don't want to accidentally see them. So I just follow other teams and then I just follow the thread and the thread is hysterical.
You way back in the day when you were on my podcast prior to show, you came up with the phrase code tidy bad. That there and we kind of made it that jingle, that Zest soap jingle. You're not fully bad unless you're co-tidy bad.
I think they are co-tidy bad, but I think Adam Gase is making this guy look like Bear Bryant. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, Kotai looks like a genius compared to what's happening over there. Now, I mean, I don't quite understand. Okay. It's no secret. My movies aren't exactly I'm no Tom Cruise, right? Like they don't make a ton of money. I'm in some good movies that I like. I'm a fan of, but they're niche movies, let's say.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You shouldn't be allowed to be a niche NFL coach, right? I mean, is Adam Gase a niche NFL head coach? I mean, if you want somebody to lose every game, call that guy, right? I know you're compromised. I know you can't.
No. I don't want to say that because I think you're better at what you do than what Adam Gase is at what he does. So I don't know if I want to buy that analogy, Bobby. You know, I mean,
that's kind of you.
He couldn't pull off Jip Rossetti for if his life depended on it. Was a version of NFL coaching. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't go there. You know,
how do you lose that many games and remain in any discussion ever again about doing this job? I mean, what's the difference? I mean, I could lose 9 games in a row. I can do that. You know what's funny? Not to pivot here, but it reminds me. It sort of reminds me of. I promise you, this is a natural pivot. But in the movie, in the Super Intelligence, I have this scene with Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah, dude, it's awesome. Like the movie takes place in Seattle and I play the biggest Ken Griffey Jr. fan. And so Melissa McCarthy works it out that, we go to a Mariners game and we're in the box and Ken Griffey Jr. comes and watches the whole game with me. Yes. So Ken came out for one day and he came out to shoot for one day, flew his own plane to Atlanta after a round of golf, flew up and then shot all day with me. Guy looks like he just retired. Like he looks amazing. Right. Anyway, we spent the whole day talking about baseball. It was like a dream come true, asking this guy those questions. But I'm a Yankees fan. In the end, I'm a Yankees fan.
Yeah.
So it had to come up eventually. You know me, I'll just say it like it is. So I was like, you never beat us, right? I mean, you didn't win. You know, we've got 27 championships. So I kept on saying it. And he would go, my teams were pretty good. He did not like that. But But I just think
he did not like that. He did not, in terms of liking it or not liking it, he did not
like it. But it just made me think, like, I was just in talking about Adam Gase, I was like, I know these guys, it's not an easy thing. Like, you know, we can sit here all day and talk about how crappy a coach certain guys are or whatever. And it's not an easy thing. I couldn't do it. But again, I mean, you and I could coach the Jets to an 0-9 record. I don't understand. And I have a feeling that players might like me better, actually. They might actually have a better time because I got jokes. I got stories. I got Hollywood stories, you know? What does Adam Gase have? Got nothing, you know? He's got, like, stories about working with Peyton Manning when Peyton Manning already had one foot in the Hall of Fame.
With Cutler. He can talk about Cutler, his days with Cutler in Chicago. Oh,
oof. Yeah. The problem with the Jets is now what always is the problem is it's like just when you think they can't get any worse, they get worse. And then it's hard to find somebody who wants that job. Like, well, who wants that job?
Here's the thing. Because I know, again, you're down in Australia. I'm here with Bobby Cannavale on the Rich Eisen Show. I know you're in Australia, so you might not be getting a lot of college football news. But Trevor Lawrence, despite getting COVID-19, looks as great as ever. And the Jets have done more than half of the hard work to get there. And the tough thing is that means Sam Darnold has to go, which is not his fault. And he does not need to be talked about like this. And all I've been doing on my show, Bobby, is talking about how this has to happen. The tanking for Trevor has to happen. They have to get this kid. Because
a couple of thoughts about this kid. Number one, isn't he pulling an Eli? Doesn't he not want to play for the Jets?
He's not pulling Eli. When you basically say, here's your fur coat, stand next to Joe Namath, and we can make 15 commercials, right? Like, that's not happening if he pulls an Eli to go to Jacksonville. That's not happening. He will go to New York City, and he will be Broadway Trevor, and it will be phenomenal. And the way, when you say, who's going to coach this team, you basically say to every coach in the United States who wants to get in the NFL, who wants to be hooked up with Trevor Lawrence for the next 15 years in New York City, raise your hand, and they will come from everywhere. This is the way out for so many different ways.
Now, but we've said this before, and the Jets destroy the souls. They've destroyed the souls of so many quarterbacks in the past. I remember running into Schechter at a Jets event when Darnold was a rookie, and I said to him, hey, man, what do you think? And he said, you know, of all these guys, they say Darnold's the smartest. And he's going to be the best. He's the real deal. And look what's happened. I mean, we're not going to, for the poor guy, I feel bad for him. There's something in the system. Like, part of me thinks we should trade that pick and get like a ridiculous haul back and get a free agent quarterback. Like,
I think if you trade him, you better trade. You can't. You just cannot watch him do what he's probably going to do in the NFL for someone else, when you had an opportunity to get him for yourself and earned the right. Seriously, again, while you're, you know, this is one of my favorite phrases from our area where you grew up. While you are gallivanting in Australia, avoiding the Jets square on your international red zone, we're all living it. And they are earning the right to take Trevor Lawrence week in, week out. They came so close to beating Belichick on Monday Night Football, and then 13 points in a fourth quarter, they come back. Joe Flacco looks terrible. I mean, it's
who's going to coach him, Rich? Who's going to coach?
Good question. I don't know the answer to that. I mean,
if they're definitely going to keep that, if they're going to end up with the first pick, right? So, do you think that they're waiting to make sure that they lose all the games so that they can then get the right coach?
Correct. They have to, and they've held Darnold out the last couple of weeks, which is the right way to go. But they're not, you know, in all honesty, they're not trying to tank. They really tried to win that Monday night game, and they're trying every week. They just don't have the firepower. And then one stupid coaching maneuver after another, you know, and it's not just all Gase either. It hasn't been great, but the future is Trevor. It really is Trevor. And
you think Clemson could beat the Jets?
No. I think the Jets would beat Clemson. They'd destroy them. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The NFL team would destroy the best college team every day of the week and twice on
Sunday. Okay. All right. I think so, too, normally. But again, they're Gacy. You know what I mean?
They're
They're Gacy. It's like being Gacy.
Is above, they're Gacy. You got Cotydie and now it's Gacy?
I mean, I like the scan of Cotydie because it's not a good scan, but that's what makes it a good scan. Like, it's a kind of a loser scan. But and Gacy's a little too obvious, but yeah.
Oh, gosh. I got Bobby Cannavale here in the Rich Eisen Show. I see your Savages in the Box t-shirt that you're wearing right there, little Yankees. And I just mentioned that you worked with Ken Griffey Jr. on this show because, and I'm pleased he didn't throw back in your face that he scored the winning run of the playoff game that ended Mattingly's career. He did.
I know.
That did, happen.
He did not mention that. He's a class act, man. Ken Griffey, I'm joking, you know, like he really didn't get mad, but like we had a pretty good ribbing back and forth.
That's good.
And I got to say, like, hours and hours. And then I think he had had it when he said, hey, man, you know, you don't have any championships. The way he said it, bro, it was like we were in a schoolyard, like we were ready to throw down. He was just tired of it. He was tired of me saying hour 27. It's got to be hard to be a professional athlete. You know, I'm playing a professional athlete in this thing I'm shooting here. And in it, I have all these references to, you know, how what a pain in the ass it is to be a retired athlete because you can't go out. You know, you just got to deal with knuckleheads all the time, just telling you what they would have done. And, you know, and I must be like just a classic example of that kind of a fan because it's tough, man. It's tough when like it's tough when your team is that bad and you go, I mean, I know I can't play football, but I just feel like I have the right. You know, I mean, they have not won in my lifetime. And I'm 50 now. It's, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going to be one of those Cubs fans. I don't want to be one of those Cubs fans, you know?
I know.
I don't want to be my buddy Tommy Osha's, you know, dad who didn't get to see his team win, win it all. Yeah.
So tell me about the movie. Tell me about Super Intelligence. It's Melissa McCarthy and her husband, Ben Falcone, directed it, right?
Yeah. We shot it a couple of years ago in Atlanta, and it's basically the idea is she is the most average person in the world, and she gets kind of selected by this AI that gets into like all of her devices and gets into the government's devices and is going to shut down the grid for the world. And the AI is represented by the form of James Corden's voice. Because she's such a fan of James Corden, he takes on the voice of the AI, and he's going to destroy the world and shut down the grid unless he can, because he's given up on humanity. And so unless he can see that humanity is worth saving, he's going to end it all. And so she has to set out to prove to him that the world is worth saving, that love is more powerful than anything else. And I represent, believe it or not, that love of her life.
Okay.
Can you believe it? I mean, I don't, when you first see me, you might think I'm going to murder a bunch of people, but guess what? I don't in this movie. So that's why I did it because I couldn't believe it. I was like, is she really asking for me? Luckily I know Melissa. So I had to have she texted me, hey, you want to do this movie with me? Will you play the love of my life? And I was like, do I murder you in the end? And then she was like, no, I want you to play a good guy because I never get these parts. So it was really fun. And it was really, really fun. She's a great actress and she's a lot of fun. And she and her husband have a good little cottage industry there making movies together.
Absolutely. Gene Smart is in it too. Great cast, man.
That's Brian Tyree Henry.
That's right. He's in it too.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
It's on HBO Max, premiering on Thanksgiving Day. And and that's called Super Intelligence. Everybody do that. Go check it out starting on Thanksgiving Day. Before I let you go, sir, can you tell me a good Pacino story? I know you worked with him on Broadway, right? Did you live with him in L.A.? Did you crash at his place or something like that? Or vice versa?
I haven't crashed at his – have I crashed at his place?
But you worked with him on Broadway.
He really offered it to me, but I adore him, you know. And
you got a good story?
I've got a couple of good stories. Well, you know, for one thing, you know, he was thrilled to know that I played poker. Like when I first met him, he was like, you got to come to my poker game. And I was like, I love it. You know, I got a poker game myself. Right. And he was like, you got to come. And I showed up. The first time I showed up to his poker game, it was incredible because before I got there, Al was the youngest guy at that poker game. So, now, I'm pretty sure he just wanted to get the mean average down of the guys, so that, you know, so we have these great games, and, you know, he's a really incredible guy, you know, because his friends, you go and like, it's not like you get there and it's like, oh, Elliot Gould. You get there and it's not that at all. It's like, you know, Frank's not kidding, 95, and he gave Al his first job delivering papers. And that's who you're playing cards with. It's the greatest, man. And, you know, like old friends of his from the actor's studio, and, you know, they don't play for, you know, like you're literally raising 50 cents, you know. And I guess the point of that story is just to tell you that, like, that guy's true blue with his friends. Like, that's great. Friends from when he was a kid. And we play, and he always gets a hotel suite, and we play, and then we order from, either Katz's or, Carnegie Deli. And then we take a little break, and we eat these, you know, massive sandwiches. And then usually I gotta always I have to like push the time that we eat, because I know that after the sandwiches, game's over pretty soon after that. You know what I mean? It's like there's only one bathroom in the suite, you know, so guys gotta go home, you know. But it's the greatest. I love the guy so much, and he's just really generous. He always has been with me, and you know, during this time, this terrible time, we've been just corresponding, and he's a great writer. I mean, he writes me these long letters, and they're, I hope he writes his memoirs one day, because he's a great writer and a great recollector of stories from his life.
Fantastic. And so are you still doing your fantasy league with Rudd? And you mentioned Jolo.
I'm in first place, buddy.
You are?
Yeah, I'm in first place. But although I got Russell Wilson, so that's kept me in first, and that's starting to get a little shaky. I hope that, I don't know what's happening over there, but that the running game seems to be
getting better. They're getting healthier. So you got Russell, and then who else do you have? Who else?
I got Russell. I got Todd Gurley. I got Daryl Henderson. I've got Zeke, but you know,
I know
Zeke's incredible. Zeke's a monster, isn't he? Though, like even with that team, they just feed him the ball. He's kind of guaranteed. You just plug him in.
Okay.
You know, he's
who else you got?
And then I don't have great receivers. I've got Godwin, but he's been hurt a lot this year. I've got Godwin. I've got Robbie Anderson, who, you know, catches 11 passes a game and never gets in the end zone.
Wouldn't that be great if he was still a Jet, for crying out loud, you know, for Matt Rhule, who they told was, but all right, I don't want to go down that wormhole one more time.
Yeah. I got Eric Ebron. I've got the Baltimore defense. I've got, it's a pretty good team.
And what's the name? Is it still the same name of your team?
Or just the tip?
Just the tip. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think it's still just the tip. Just one word, JUSDATIP. I'm never going to grow up, Rich. What do you want from me? What do you want? Huh? They can't take my kids away. You know, not for having a juvenile sense of humor. I don't think they can take the kids away.
Bobby, you are the best, man. Have a great Thanksgiving holiday season down under.
You too, man.
That's on Super Intelligence. Let's do this more often, man. I miss you.
I miss you too. Send Susie my best, okay?
Rose, that's Bobby Cannavale here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.